Hey, this is Matt, and you're listening to the Reconstructing Faith podcast, where we try and create conversation without condemnation. Let's dig in. Welcome to Bible Study Live with Matt. I am Matt, and today we're going to talk about what are the next steps when you become someone who says, I'm making the choice to follow Jesus. I'm making the choice to follow him. I'm dedicating my life to following Christ. Now what? What do you expect? What should you expect? And what should you actually do with your life once you've made this choice? What are the things to do? That's what we're going to dig into today. And we're going to actually be reading in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read a few verses 5 through 11. And I'm just signing into my Bible Gateway account. If you're, do me a favor, wherever you're watching this from, just say hello, drop a hi in the comment, let me know you're watching. Be super cool to be able to say hi back to you, so I greatly appreciate it. But what we're going to do is we're going to dig into a couple things today. We're going to talk about, and I just want to kind of share these with you, a couple of things we're going to talk about today are like baptism, objections, and spiritual warfare. We're just going to tag into some stuff like that. Here's the deal. Making the choice to follow Jesus isn't something that Satan takes lightly, right? So when you make the choice to follow Jesus, whether you did it years ago, whether you've recommitted your life recently, whether you're a brand new believer, here's the deal. You're going to likely, okay, and it's not guaranteed, but more than likely, you're going to face challenges directly related to the choice that you made to say, hey, I want to follow Jesus. And this is kind of a big thing to understand, because some folks think, you know, if I make the choice to follow Jesus, everything's going to get easier, because all my Christian friends are going to come around me, they're going to take care of me, they're going to support me, they're going to give me the emotional support I need. A lot of folks feel that, and that's how it should be, with folks coming around us and supporting one another and things like that. But the reality is, it doesn't always get easier, especially not right away. So there are likely going to be some challenges that we face in our lives when we make the choice to follow Jesus. Now, some of those challenges will actually come through temptation, right? Sometimes you notice you make the choice to follow Jesus, and that thing that tempted you, that addiction, that lust, whatever it is, it's going to get stronger. And you're going to feel like this, like, why does it feel like I'm getting tempted in so many ways? But the other thing is, sometimes it comes through friends and family. Sometimes when you make the choice to follow Jesus, good things will become a distraction intentionally. And it's not that those things are bad in any way, as a matter of fact. But sometimes, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is folks will make the choice to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to choose to recognize Jesus as Messiah and Savior, and I'm gonna start learning about him. I'm gonna become a disciple, a student. I'm gonna grow in and grow closer to God. And then all of a sudden, sometimes good opportunities pop in your life, you know, good business stuff or new things for the family, and it's like they're all good things. So making the choice to follow Jesus is not one that the devil likes. So from good things to bad things, he's gonna try and put things in your path to kind of roadblock you, stumble you, cause you to just draw you away from following Christ. So what I want to do today is I'm going to read through Matthew 5:5 through 5:11, and I just want to point out some key principles. So wherever you're watching this from, a couple things. One, please say hi in the comments. Hopefully I'll be able to see it on the software platform. But two, I'm going to encourage you to write some of this stuff down, because there's some good things we're going to dig into today. So I'm going to go ahead and share. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here. I'm going to share the tab where I'm reading from the Bible. Okay, so let me go ahead and pop that on the screen. You guys can see it, groovy like a movie. I'm going to make it a little bigger there. Boom. All right, let's go ahead and read. And now this is from what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. This section is called the Beatitudes, where Jesus is saying, you're blessed when, okay? And shockingly, it's not like you're blessed when you get a new car. You're blessed when you get that job you want. Those are blessings, but that's not what Jesus is talking about today. So let's read these real brief verses here. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. What is he saying here? What is he saying here? That is a good question. And so let's just jump on it really quick. What is he saying when he says you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less? That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Basically, stay humble. You know, we received a gift and nobody knows it all, okay? And it's okay to say to people, I don't know everything. But I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that the way of life that he's calling us all to is the best way to live and the best way to love everyone. See, you're blessed when you recognize you don't have to have it all together, okay? You don't have to have it all together, but what you have is you have been chosen. You have been chosen by God. All of us were. Before we were born, God said, I want you in my family. Now, whether we choose him or not, or whether we continue to choose him back, whether we choose him back or not, that's up to us, okay? That's a decision each individual should make and needs to. But God chose you. God loves you. God wants you. And so the first lesson that I think we should take away from this is stay humble and know that you're enough. God called you to this with what you have right now. He's not saying, hey, once you have more resources, once you're in a better space, once you're financially better, once you've got the means to go preach the gospel in a big way. No, no, no. God said, I want you now. So you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. Verse 6, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's the best. Gosh, this is so good. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. What do we learn from that? Stay thirsty. Stay thirsty and stay hungry, okay? Continue to seek ways to be righteous in spite of the stuff that you face. Somebody comes up against you, look for a way to be good and bless them. Hard times come your way, look for the good things that are in your life. Man, if all the money goes away but you're healthy, praise God for your health. If you're struggling but your family is smiling and eating and happy, praise God for that, right? So stay hungry and thirsty for God. Consider it a blessing that you're on the journey and give yourself grace. You're not going to magically understand everything. None of us are, right? It takes time and study, and then we'll still never fully understand all the mysteries of God. So we won't always be able to explain everything well, and that's okay. But the lesson we take from verse 6 is to stay hungry and stay thirsty. Verse 7, you're blessed when you care. At the moment you're of being careful, you find yourself cared for. Look, don't get upset with people who don't understand why you've chosen to follow Jesus. Even if they get mad at you, show mercy towards them. Be merciful toward them. Just remember this, God has shown us mercy, right? When we care for others, when we show care for others, we're going to realize God has cared for us. When we realize God has cared for us, we'll have a heart to care for others. Verse 8, you're blessed when you get in your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in your outside world. Man, that is so good. I just want to say this again. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in your outside world. Here's the deal. There are going to be times where, man, we get insulted. Our feelings get hurt. But don't seek to get back at folks. We want to keep our heart pure. We want to get our the Pharisees always looked good on the outside. When we read in the scriptures, we read about religious leaders that always looked good on the outside, seemed to do the right thing, but on the inside, Jesus often referred to them as being dead, manicured grave plots, things like that. Hey, you're looking good on the outside, but on the inside, you're dead. Here's the thing. Sometimes when you make the decision to follow Jesus and you're going like, what's next in my journey? Sometimes you're going to encounter some religious folks. They're going to spin you out, okay? But here's the thing. And sometimes you're going to look at your friends who don't choose to follow Jesus and you're going to be like, man, what's wrong with them? Why don't they want to follow him? Why are they this? Why are they that? Why aren't they this? Why aren't they that? But here's the deal, my friends. if we've got our heart right with God, then when others aren't following God, or when others who are uber religious maybe say or do things that frustrate us, we need to maybe shift gears on how we respond, even when our feelings get hurt. We want to say, man, God has forgiven me. God has a pure love for me in spite of the way I've behaved toward him. How can I have that same heart for others when they don't like me, when they wrong me, when they crap on me, when they mistreat me? How can I do that? When I get my inside world, my heart and mind right, then I can see God's blessings in the outside world, even through the tough times. All right, verse 9. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you'll discover who you really are and your place in God's family. That's in other translations, blessed are the peacemakers, right? So here's the deal. That's a good one to just grab onto. So I'm going to latch onto it for a minute. Here's the deal. You want to experience blessing as a follower of Jesus, whether you're a new follower or been a follower for a while. You want to experience blessing, make peace a priority. Let me say that again. Make peace a priority. What does that mean? It means you could disagree with people, but stay peaceful. Okay? There's a lot of disagreement out there on the interwebs today. Right? A lot of folks fighting over politics. We all have beliefs that we have, whatever. But how do we disagree and stay peaceful? Okay? Well, it's okay to say, listen, I get that you don't understand why I've made this change, this choice yet, but know this. I love you. I care about you. I consider you a friend. And that doesn't change. See, when you become a follower of Jesus, some people have had a very bad experience in church, and I don't blame them. Sometimes people in church just act like jerks. They look like hypocrites. Jesus, this is nothing new. Jesus dealt with it in his day, and it happens today. And sometimes we're all guilty of it. Sometimes we act like idiots, whether you're following Jesus or not. Sometimes you just act like a moron, okay? But here's the deal. Jesus said you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate. You're blessed when you make peace. Because why? And he says that's when you discover who you really are in your place in God's family. So listen to this, okay? When you have a disagreement with somebody, okay? When you make the choice to follow Jesus, some people's previous experience with church, some of your friends, some of your family members, they've been wounded by people who claim to know Jesus or who go to church. They've been wounded. First, we need to understand that that's the real experience some people have had. So they may at first be like, I don't know why you've chosen to go, you know, follow this Jesus and go to church and do all that stuff. That's all judgmental and that's all this. And that may have been their experience with people who say they follow Jesus and go to church. So first we got to understand that. And then listen, it's okay to say to them, like, I get that you don't get it. I get that you don't know why I made this choice, but know this, regardless of your past experiences, regardless of what you think about people who go to church, regardless of who they are, know this about me. I love you. I care about you. I consider you a friend. None of that changes because I chose to follow Jesus. If anything, this change is going to help me be a better, whoever you're talking to, a better friend, a better husband, a better wife, a better sister, brother, son. If anything, this is going to make me better at being those things, a better dad, a better mom, making the choice to truly follow Jesus, not to be religious, not to follow some pastor, not to follow some preacher's doctrine. Get in the Bible, read Jesus' words, live how he said to live, love how he said to love. When you've got friends who are concerned that you made the choice to follow Jesus because they've had a bad experience with people who've said that in the past, know that there's a legitimate feeling there for many of them. And you need to make sure that if you're truly trying to follow Jesus, you let your friends know, my love for you will not stop because I chose to love Jesus too. My love for you as a friend, husband, wife, sister, brother, mother, father, son, daughter, whatever, that doesn't change. Matter of fact, it should make you better at being any and all of those things. Because if you're following Jesus, you're going to love people better, period. And let your friends know, look, if you got questions about this stuff that I believe, if you want to wrestle with it, just let me know. I don't know all the answers, but I'll wrestle with it with you together. We can dig in together. Because I'm trying to figure it all out too. It's new to me too. Own that. Be honest with people. Verse 10, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. This persecution drives you deeper into God's arms. This is a hard one. Okay. And actually, you know what? I'm going to continue and read the end of it, and then we'll wrap it up. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. And this is Jesus talking, by the way. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for even though they don't like it, I do, and all of heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. So what do we have here to wrap up? Let's talk about this. Understand that while there's going to be great days as a follower of Jesus, there are going to be some tough ones. And in this life, it's not the end. Okay, this isn't where the story ends. Jesus says we're blessed when people attack us because of him. Note, he's not saying when people attack you because of your politics, okay? Jesus says you're blessed when you're attacked because of him, and that we will have a reward in heaven that's great as a result of that persecution, okay? We will have a reward in heaven as a result of that persecution. So I see a lot of folks talking about, you know, their political beliefs and they're getting persecuted. And well, my reward is going to be great in heaven because of my support for Donald Trump. No, 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 no. Stop it. Stop it. Yes, I know you should look for politicians who seem to say and believe the things that you do. But biblical things like your rewards in heaven, the blessings of God, have nothing to do with your political leanings. And we need to understand that, okay? So if you're getting persecuted because you posted a meme on Facebook someone doesn't like, you know, that's not, you're not like, oh, well, I'm going to get a reward from Jesus. No, silly. Has nothing to do with that. It's if you're persecuted because of him, i.e., if you're living and loving like Jesus, if you're loving like Jesus and you're blessing somebody, there's somebody who's homeless and they need food and you feed them and someone says, oh, look at idiotic Christians just throwing away money on folks who are living on the street who don't, you know, don't want to get their life right, you know, whatever somebody's saying, like, oh, that just shows how stupid these Jesus followers are. That's persecution in Jesus' name. When you're doing something good and in his name and you're getting persecuted, that's the kind of persecution being talked about here in the scriptures. That's when you're persecuted for loving people, when you're persecuted for laying your life down for people, that's a blessing. That's, consider that a blessing, because that means you're doing something for Christ that's good and you're being condemned for it. Praise God. Praise God. Now you might say, why would I praise God? Shouldn't people celebrate? Yeah, they should. But praise God that in spite of the persecution, you've put love first. And that's what I'm going to bring this all back to. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we read the other day about Jesus' temptation and his knowledge of scripture, right? His knowledge of scripture and being in God's word helped him to understand the heart of God better, which also led to, which we discussed the other day, when he was asked by the Pharisees what the greatest command was. And Jesus said, oh, that's easy. And then he quotes the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest command. He said, but the second, that's real close, is to love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you're a new follower of Jesus, when you've made the choice to follow Jesus, whether you've recommitted your life to following Jesus, note you're going to face some opposition. The enemy doesn't want you following Jesus because the enemy already knows he loses in the end. Okay? He's going to try and distract you with temptation, spiritual warfare, all kinds of bad things. He's going to try and distract you with all types of things that are good, like but lead to busyness, to keep you out of God's word. All of those things are going to happen, but here's the deal. Consider yourself blessed when all of these things happen. And I want to share another thing with you here, friends, because when we make the decision to follow Jesus, there is a lot of folks don't, they just don't understand what we're supposed to do. Like, I've heard people ask, like, well, yeah, but what about baptism? Like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, do I have to get baptized? Things like that. I would question that, and I would say, why wouldn't you? See, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 goes on and continues and says this. Let me tell you why you're here. Okay, are you ready? Hold on, friends. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If you've lost your usefulness, you end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to bring light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Now, why did I read that after talking about baptism? Because here's the deal. When you make the decision to follow Jesus with your life, the scriptures say, like when Jesus, he says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, you need to make the decision to be baptized. Why would I say that? The baptism itself doesn't do magic. It doesn't like, oh, when you get baptized, you go into the water. That's when the Holy Spirit, no. You should do it because Jesus said to do it. He said, go get baptized. You should do it because Jesus did it. Now, why was that done, though? It's a symbolic representation. It's an outward representation of the inward change, right? It's the dying to your old self and being resurrected with Christ. That's the symbolism. But what you're doing is twofold, and I want to share this with you. One, you're saying to all of your friends who don't know Jesus, I've made the decision to follow him. I made this decision with my life. The old me is dead and buried. And now I've been raised to life with Jesus, and I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to make my life about learning to live and love the way that he lived and loved. That's what you're saying, number one, with baptism. You're telling the world, I'm with him. But number two, what you're also doing is you're telling the church, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm part of this together. So you're also telling the church that because you're allowing yourself accountability. You're saying, I am on the same team as you, and we're all part of this one body. So if I'm not living it right, come alongside me, lovingly walk through this with me. See, baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. And if you've made the decision to follow Jesus, but you have not made the decision to get baptized, can I challenge you and encourage you? Next time that if you're part of a local church body, the next time they're doing baptism, say, I want to do it. I haven't done it. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to take this step. Maybe if you're like, well, I watch church on the internet. I got COVID, whatever. Then do it in your home. Have a friend or family member baptize you. It doesn't have to be a priest or a pastor. Just have somebody else baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Heck, you know what? If you decide to do it at home, record it and share it on the internet. Let everybody know you made the choice to follow Jesus and you got baptized. But that is a step you should take. If you're a new believer or you've been a believer for a long time, but you've never taken the step of baptism, please do it. Please do it. Please do it. It shows those who may not be followers of Jesus that you made the decision to follow him and start a new life. It shows our family of believers that we're committed to walking together in this journey. It's a physical sign that we're actually following Jesus because he told us to be baptized and we're making the decision to follow him. So we're actually being obedient. And listen, go do it. Go do it. Go make the choice. Here's the thing, friends. There are so many crazy deals with crazy things that we experience when we make the choice to follow Christ. First, we get this, it seems like, and it's been my experience, when I first made the decision, my heart was just flooded with this desire. Like, I want to know this love that God has to offer. I was flooded with a desire for that. The second thing I noticed was that I was just on fire to tell everybody about Jesus. And then I noticed not everybody wanted to hear it. And I get it. For the same reasons I didn't want to hear it. But here's the thing. You know, sometimes our lives, I think Andy Mineo said this, and my wife had shared this with me, but sometimes your life is the only Bible anyone's ever going to read. So is your life aligning with the Bible? Jesus said, get baptized. Did you do it? Jesus said, you're blessed when you make peace. Are you trying to make peace? None of us are going to do this perfectly. None of us know it all. But as we come together, each of us is a part of the body and we make up the whole. And when we do this together, we have a lot better chance of walking it out right. And I want to invite you to be part of that. Speaking of things that I want to invite you to, check this out. My wife and I have a new book coming out called For This Reason, How to Live an Ephesians 5 Marriage. And I want to invite you to score an advance copy of the book. You want to grab a copy of it? Please. Text the word love to 833-981-0002. Standard messaging rates apply, blah, blah, blah. Got to say that for the legal folk. But here's the deal. You want to score an advance copy? Send a text to that number, and you'll get a text update when the book is available for download for the advance copy folks. So text the word love to 833-981-0002. We've been a little delayed in the house church small group stuff, and we're not going to actually be kicking that off probably till March. But if you're interested in that, you can text the word church to that same phone number, 833-981-0002, and you'll find out more information. Listen, no matter where you're at on your faith journey, you are just one moment away from walking closer with Jesus. So please make the choice to make that day today. Love you guys. Appreciate you. I do this every Monday through Friday, sometime between 7:30 and 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Hope you'll join me tomorrow on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, wherever I'm doing it. Love you guys. See you soon.